Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Nankin, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. This is not going to be the most pleasant subject to speak about, but it has to be spoken about it. We have to tell the truth. Because many Trumpsters are under the illusion that Donald Trump is going to easily be reelected, and there's no problem in November. And not only that, the Trumpsters worship Donald Trump. Everything he does, they worship. And this includes Orthodox Jews and other foolish people of little faith who turn someone like Donald Trump, who's a completely immoral and amoral individual, into a messiah. And there literally are Orthodox Jews who say that he's the Mashiach, he's like the Messiah for the Jewish people. And he's just so sick and so self-hating and so cowardly, these Jews who make these statements. It's just disgusting. But anyway, we're going to tell you why it looks to me right now like Donald Trump will probably lose the election. I hope I'm wrong. Yes, we are voting for Donald Trump. Yes, Donald Trump is a lesser of the evils. Yes, the other side, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris with her self-hating Jewish husband, are definitely worse. And so yes, we should vote for Trump and support Trump. And yes, we would like to see Trump get reelected. But I think he's probably going to lose. And again, a lot can change between now and November 3rd, but my guess is that I don't think it looks good right now. I just don't think it looks good. Maybe something will change. Maybe there'll be a vaccine miraculously by October, or something will turn around. But or Joe Biden will fall so flat on his face that we'll be surprised. But right now, after the Democrat conventions and after the Republican convention, Donald Trump desperately needed a boost in the polls. Because he was doing far worse than at this point in 2016 when he ran against Hillary Clinton. When he ran against Hillary Clinton at this point in 2016, he was behind by an average of 3% in the polls nationally. And now he's behind by an average of 7 or 8% in the polls. That's a substantial difference. That's bad news. And he didn't close the gap. In almost all the polls, there was no closing of the gap. The figures are quite similar to what they were before the conventions. So that's a bad situation. And let me give you a couple of illustrations why I think things look bad. Today, on the day that we're recording this show on Friday, September 4th. And on the day that we're recording this show, the latest statistics came out and unemployment dropped to 8.3%. Way below double-digit levels, despite the massive coronavirus shutdowns and all the other terrible blows to the economy, which people were saying would bring on another Great Depression and the unemployment rate was going to go up to 25 or 30%. It's down to 8.3%. Okay, that was very good economic news. 1.4 million new jobs were created. There actually is surprisingly good news on the job front and on the economic front as far as what the American people care about. Long range, I think things don't look good because of the tremendous debt that's being accumulated here. I think that these massive federal payouts to people, I think, are very, very damaging and will create a problem with the United States. We'll face the danger eventually of bankruptcy. I think it's going to be a catastrophe because of the massive debt that's being created, government debt and private debt. But in any event, short term, The stock market is doing very well, almost at record highs. The bond market is actually doing quite well. And those are important indicators. Tens of millions of Americans are invested in stocks and in bonds. They're important for many, many voters. And they're important anchors for the overall economy. In addition to that, again, the jobless rate went down to 8.3%, and jobs are being created. So even though we don't have a vaccine, we don't have a cure for the virus, and the virus is still going on and still taking its toll, less than before, but it's still taking its toll. By the way, the fact that the figures are down is less than before, you notice the news media doesn't report that. But today was a day when the number one news should have been the unemployment rate is down to 8.3%, despite the massive blows to the economy, which could have caused the Great Depression, which caused practical panic. And under Trump's presidency, the stock market has remained strong, the bond market has remained strong, and unemployment's below double digits and going down, and jobs are being created again. That's actually pretty good news before the election. And yet, that news was buried, and ignored, even by Fox News. All buried and ignored because of Donald Trump opening up his big mouth again. I mean, here he had some good news that he could have used to show the difference between what he and Joe Biden would do with the economy. Because under Joe Biden, things would be worse. I have no doubt things would be worse under Joe Biden. And yet, Donald Trump opened up his big, stupid mouth again and had to say that the U.S. Marines who died for their country, who died in combat, were losers and suckers. You remember what he said about John McCain in 2015? He said he's not a war hero. Now, I also think John McCain is not a war hero, but for different reasons. I think John McCain cooperated with the North Vietnamese captors and was a snitch and a rat. But that's besides the point, and that certainly means he's not a war hero. And I think John McCain was an evil, vicious, disgusting human being. And I think his whole family are evil, vicious, disgusting people. But putting that aside, Trump said he's not a war hero because he was captured. He said POWs are losers. They're captured. He wants winners. He wants people that don't get captured. That's what he said in 2015. Now, the minute he opened up his mouth and said that, that should have been the end of his political career. Republicans, so-called conservatives with half a brain, should have said, I'll never support somebody that says something like that. Because this is such an immoral, evil, disgusting, selfish, arrogant pig going around speaking like this about war veterans, that if they get captured, they're losers. If they're POWs, they're losers. If they get killed, they're losers. I want winners. I only want winners. You know, meanwhile, this wimp, this orange wimp, got 5 draft deferments. He got his rich daddy to get him out with 5 draft deferments because he didn't have the guts to fight. He didn't have the courage to fight. And later he told Howard Stern on the Howard Stern show that he thought he fought his own type of Vietnam War when he was chasing after all these women and committing adultery. He thought that was his form of fighting the Vietnam War, chasing after women and committing adultery, being a serial adulterer. I mean, this is the type of slime that you people voted for and made the Republican nominee in 2016. You created this situation. You could have had someone like Ted Cruz, who's a moral, decent person, and who's a true Bible believer, and who would have been good for Israel and for America. You could have had him. You could have had a brilliant person who would have been a very strong leader at a time like this, a time of crisis. Instead, you pick someone who makes statements like this that are so disgusting and hands ammunition over to the Democrats. Everybody justifiably is attacking him on this. Now, I know that people are going to say, but he denies saying it. He didn't say it. And he said it's fake news. I don't believe him. I don't believe him. You know why? Because he did publicly say this. He said the same exact thing in 2015 about John McCain. He said POWs are losers. He said he wants winners. He wants people that aren't captured. He said the same exact thing in 2015. And Jennifer Griffith, who is a reporter for Fox News, confirmed that ex-Trump officials have confirmed to her, at least 2 ex-Trump officials confirmed to her that he did make statements like that, and he didn't want to visit cemeteries because he thought the cemeteries were filled with losers. Which, by the way, shows that he's not only a coward and a disgrace and completely unpatriotic, but that he's, you know, he has this mentality that if you serve your country, or if you're idealistic, or if you're willing to sacrifice, if you're not making money all the time and serving yourself and getting yourself ahead, that you're a sucker, that you're a loser. You know, this is the mentality. And that's why people like Jerry Falwell Jr. supported him. Remember, Jerry Falwell Jr., even though Ted Cruz was a genuine evangelical Christian, Jerry Falwell Jr. from Liberty University immediately, enthusiastically got behind Donald Trump. And now we see what Jerry Falwell Jr. was all about. This is a guy who watched while the pool boy, a pool boy, was having sex with his wife, and he's watching his wife having sex with another man. And this is the way this perverted, sick individual's mind works. And he was the head of a so-called evangelical Christian university and a big minister. So of course he's the type of person who enthusiastically supported Donald Trump, because this is what the country has descended into. Remember, Donald Trump on moral issues, terrible on moral issues. Remember, he said about Pete Buttigieg, when he said Pete the Booty, a reporter on Fox, one of these immoral, evil reporters on Fox, said, isn't it wonderful that he's with his husband there, and we live in an age where now he can be with his husband, Pete Booty, in other words, a homosexual husband, homosexual marriage. And Donald Trump said he thinks it's great. He says, I have no problem with that. He says, I think it's great, he said. I mean, this, you know, if God allows America to exist with that type of attitude, God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, this is unbelievable. And yet, all of this is allowed to pass. He's all allowed to slip away. And so this is where we are. Now, let me make something crystal clear here, if I haven't already. And I've said it on program after program. And I already said it in this program as well. Despite everything I'm saying, the bad news is that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are even worse than him, and their election will be even worse. So we have to vote for Donald Trump. We're stuck with the lesser of the evils. But remember, the lesser of the evils is still evil. And yes, we got to vote for him, because if there's a choice between things getting bad at a certain pace and things getting bad, getting even worse at an even faster pace, of course we're going to choose the lesser of the evils. We're going to choose. We have no alternative. We're stuck. You put us in a corner by electing this schmuck. You put us in a corner here. But let's not forget what he stands for, and let's remember something else. Donald Trump was on track to winning re-election. He was in good shape. The economy seemed very strong in the eyes of the American people. Again, I think the underlying problem long-term with debt is very, very, very serious. But the figures looked good as far as the unemployment rate, the lowest unemployment rate in more than 50 years we had before the virus. All types of statistics that looked very good for Donald Trump. Inflation was low, unemployment was very low, and so on. And so he seemed to be on track to be able to make a very strong argument to get reelected until the virus struck. When did the virus strike? Everything was going great. All of a sudden the virus strikes. When did that happen? Right after he announced his Middle East so-called peace plan. Did you notice that? Right after he announced his so-called Middle East plan to create a so-called Palestinian state and create and cut Israel in half, right along her waistline, and in order to create a physical connection between Judea, Samaria, and Gaza, and a terrible plan that he and that self-hating cockroach Jared Kushner came up with, that Judenrat Kapo cockroach, horrible plan. And what happens? And Netanyahu, of course, immediately goes along with it. Netanyahu is a traitor as well. But what immediately happens? A short time after they announced the plan, that virus struck America, and with a vengeance. Before he announced that plan in January, I think it was in January, before he announced that plan, there was not a single person in the United States who had been infected by that virus, as far as we knew. There was no reports of it in the United States, and then it came. You know, God God can decide what happens with viruses and with illnesses. And, you know, sometimes there are unexplained reasons why viruses, and scientists don't know the reasons, unexplained reasons why certain viruses spread and certain viruses don't spread. And certain places, you have Taiwan with 23 million people, only 9 people have died from the virus. I think it's only 9 people since the start of the virus with a nation of 23 million people, and they're right across from China. South Korea, Japan, very low numbers in terms of the number of people who have died from the virus, and there are many other countries like that. Why are certain countries hit so hard, and other countries like Taiwan, and Taiwan, again, Taiwan, an island right off of China, the huge China, huge nation of China, and right off of China, and a lot of Taiwanese travel to China because they have businesses in China, and a lot of Chinese from the mainland do business in Taiwan. All the reasons were there for Taiwan to have massive infections. It never happened there. Now, some people say it's because they have a history of wearing masks, and I think there's something to that. But still, the potential, you know, in China they also wear masks. In China they also have a history of wearing masks, and look how it spread in China itself. So why do things spread certain places and not other places? Why do certain things happen at a certain time? God controls a lot of these things. God controls a lot of what happens. God controls everything in the world. But God determines what is going to happen and what is not going to happen. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, it says in Sefer Bereshit, in the book of Genesis. God promises in a Brit Olam, an eternal covenant that he made with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, with the three fathers of the Jewish people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he promises that nations that curse Israel will be cursed, and nations that bless Israel will be blessed. Kushner, Trump, tempting Israel with this agreement that these sick Jews of this generation, that are it's terrible for Israel, but the idiot Jews of this generation think, oh, that's okay, that's a good deal. You know, the Jews have done these crazy things over and over again throughout their history. And with a leader like Netanyahu, they're going to continue to do it, God forbid. If Netanyahu creates a so-called Palestinian state, he will get the support of most Israelis. Because it's Netanyahu and the Likud and a so-called right-winger doing it, he'll get the support. Just like in America, when Trump says it's okay to have same-sex marriages, nobody says anything because it's Trump saying it. Obama, through most of his political career, the vast majority of his political career, was against same-sex marriage. Because Obama couldn't get away with it, because the right would come and attack him. But with Trump, he could do anything, say anything, and get away. The same thing with Netanyahu and a so-called Palestinian state in Israel. Netanyahu is much more dangerous, because as prime minister, he can get away with promoting things, and Israelis will say, oh, it can't be that bad. If Netanyahu supports it, it must be okay, because Netanyahu is a right-winger. He wouldn't make concessions that'll endanger us. No, not much. Most of the concessions that have endangered Israel and that have hurt Israel over the years were made under the so-called right wing, the phony right governments of the Likud. Just like most of the really terrible things, immoral things that have happened to America have happened under Republican presidents. Roe v. Wade happened with majority Republican Supreme Court justices. The Supreme Court justices were Republican appointees on Roe v. Wade. And it was under a Republican administration, the Nixon administration, when it happened. I mean, Roe v. Wade was under the Republicans, and it's led to the murder of about 60 million babies since the Roe v. Wade decision, that terrible decision. And you can see a lot of you see on all of these other fronts, America's deteriorating, rotting from within. Trump hasn't reversed that at all. He hasn't reversed any of the problems this country has. Look at Black Lives Matter, this hideous organization, and how everybody worships black racists and black Jew haters and black Nazis, black scum, criminal scum. They're worshipped by the media, by Hollywood, even Republicans and Fox News. They feel they have to cater to them and appease them. This is Trump hasn't reversed any of these terrible trends. This is continuing under him as well. Now, is it possible that it would be even worse under Biden? I think it would be worse under Biden, but let's face it, it's bad under Trump too. So, God decided to put an end to this blessing, that a blessing with a good economy for his re-election that Trump was going into the campaign, into the election with, because he crossed the red line. He wants to give away Israel's biblical homeland to the Arab Nazi terrorists, Arab Muslim Nazi terrorists, and that's crossing a red line. And so, I don't know. Look, do I know for sure what's going to happen on November 3rd? Of course not. Ani lo navi ve ani lo ben navi. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the son of a prophet. So I can't tell you because I'm not a prophet. But to me, it just doesn't look good. Every single national poll shows Trump behind. Most of the polls show him behind by 7 or 8 points. That's pretty much the average. And when he comes out, some of the statements he makes and some of the things that he comes out with and some of the things he says are so damaging. He steps on his own message. That's one thing you never do as a candidate. As a candidate, if you're disciplined like Ronald Reagan was, and Richard Nixon, by the way, ran disciplined presidential campaigns as well in 1968, 1972. Even in 1960 when he ran against John F. Kennedy, he almost won. He would run a disciplined campaign. He wouldn't come out and make stupid statements. Why do you have to say, be very careful with what you say? Because if you say one little thing, the media grabs what you say and ignores the rest of your message. It's calling stepping on your message. And then the rest of the message that you wanted to bring to the American people is lost. Today's message should have been unemployment rate went down to 8.3%. Not bad for considering the coronavirus and the fact that everybody was saying we're going to be in a depression with 25-30% unemployment by now. And now it's down to 8.3% and we're gaining jobs again, 1.4 million new jobs. Not bad. I mean, the news is not that bad. Instead of that message never got across. That message was never transmitted. Instead, the only message that's transmitted is that U.S. soldiers who die in combat are losers. And Trump denied it and said it's fake news and he never really said it. But we know that he did say the exact same thing in 2015, so he doesn't have any credibility. It's just, this is the problem, this is the catch-22 that we're stuck with here. And you know, people should understand, Jews are so excited that there may be diplomatic relations now with the United Arab Emirates. Big deal. Big deal. A country that has so much Jewish blood on their hands that has given billions of dollars over the years to every Muslim terrorist murdering organization under the sun, along with all the other Persian Gulf Arabs, Saudi Arabia. They've been funding massive Islamic terrorism and Islamic indoctrination for decades and have been calling for a Holocaust against the Jewish people for decades, actually for centuries. But they have the oil money for decades to do it with. And so, and Jews are so excited about being able to visit countries that are soaked with the blood of innocent Jews. And all of it is a hoax. All of this is a hoax. All of this is to get the Jews, to disarm the Jews psychologically, mentally, and in every other way, so that they'll be ready to make suicidal concessions. This is insanity. And also to use Israel. The United Arab Emirates would like to use Israel against Iran as well. They want to do that. But they also want to hurt Israel. There's no question about that. And the Jews are so excited about this, even though it will lead to massive new sales of the most sophisticated American weaponry that brilliant Jewish scientists created for America. Most of the great technology and weapons that are created for America are created by Jews. And this is now going to be handed over to the Arabs, and it's going to endanger Israel. And Netanyahu agreed to it. And worst of all, there's a building freeze. There's a freeze on all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. Jews are not allowed to build there. Jews are being blocked from moving there. If Netanyahu had just allowed the Jews who want to move there to move there and to build and to grow naturally, if he had allowed that to happen, instead of 450,000 Jews living in Judea and Samaria now, we would have 1.5 million or 2 million by now. And there'd be no way you could create a so-called Palestinian state with 1.5 million or 2 million Jews sitting there. You couldn't do it, and you can't throw 1.5 million or 2 million Jews out. Netanyahu and the Israeli army couldn't do that. So we would have solved the problem by now. Netanyahu deliberately has sabotaged and torpedoed all attempts to have more Jewish building and more Jewish settlements in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem because he's against Jews keeping Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, and Eastern Jerusalem. He's against it. He believes that we have to have millions of Arabs. You can't have millions. We're going to rule over millions of Arabs in Judea and Samaria. We've got to give them an independent state. Instead of encouraging them to leave, most of them want to leave. Instead of getting them out, encouraging them to leave, what does he do? He's more worried about diplomatic relations with this country and that country. We have diplomatic relations with the Congo. We have diplomatic relations with Zaire. As if this is good for Israel. Those are all bad for Israel. Zaire and the Congo and all that. This is Jews spending money on a bunch of ignorant Schwarzes that don't know how to wipe their tuchuses. And Netanyahu considers these to be such great diplomatic accomplishments. Now Kushner and Trump and the other, they've already announced they have another agreement now where Kosovo and Serbia are going to, the agreement with Kosovo and Serbia and Israel. Serbia is moving their embassy to Jerusalem, they announced. That's good. With the Serbs, we should have good relations with the Serbs. The Serbs are one of the few people in Europe that did not murder Jews and did not hurt Jews during the Holocaust. And so they deserve our support and they deserve to have, we should have good relations with the Serbs. And the enemies of the Serbs are our enemies as well. The Muslim Nazis in Kosovo and in Albania and the Croat Nazis are our enemies as well. Okay, they murdered 90,000 Yugoslav Jews during the Holocaust. So we should be supporting the Serbs. And the fact that the Serbs want to move their embassy to Jerusalem, absolutely, that's fine. But Kosovo, a Muslim terrorist country that broke away from Serbia on Serb territory, that was the Serb historic homeland, and they broke away. And they handed it over to a bunch of Muslims who basically invaded the country but with massive illegal immigration and smuggling of people in there. You know, before you knew it, 90% of the population was Muslim. It was always a Serb territory. It was always Serb land. Always. It was the heartland of Serbia. And the Muslims are able to come in and take over and illegally come in and take over and declare an independent country. This sets a very bad precedent for Israel in Judea and Samaria, because the Arabs in Israel and Judea and Samaria want to do the same thing. So this is a terrible deal. And this is just another example. Now Kosovo is going to have diplomatic relations with Israel, and Israel is going to recognize this. Terrible. Terrible. Netanyahu is so desperate to show we have diplomatic relations with this country and that country and this country, sucking up to everybody. This is his whole reason for being. This is what he considers to be the Jewish destiny. The Jews are supposed to be putting their nose up everybody's tuchus and begging everybody to have diplomatic relations with Israel. What an utterly disgraceful, groveling swine. And unfortunately, he has a partner with Donald Trump and Jared Kushner. Those are his partners in this crime. And creating the illusion that, oh, Israel's being recognized, things are wonderful, look how things are opening up for us, we have a new Middle East, and it's so wonderful. All illusions, all BS, all illusions. The Arab countries are building nuclear programs now to create nuclear bombs. Iran is building nuclear programs to create nuclear bombs. These are tremendous threats to Israel's very survival, and Israel is moving toward the creation of a so-called Palestinian state, God forbid. These are tremendous threats to Israel's survival. Things are not looking good. Netanyahu is doing terrible things to Israel. And freezing all Jewish building, which is the Jewish building in Judea and Samaria, is the only hope we have to save Israel from surrendering all the land that she needs to survive. The only hope we have is by putting enough Jews in there so that they're unable to surrender. We have enough facts on the ground. That's what Israel needs to do, not sovereignty declarations and all these other things. I don't trust their sovereignty. I don't trust that, you know, it's all BS. Even if you declare sovereignty, they still give the land away. They declared sovereignty in the Golan Heights in 1980, and Netanyahu was offered to give it away, and other prime ministers were offered to give it away. They declared sovereignty in Jerusalem in 1967. And how many prime ministers offered to give away parts of Jerusalem, including Netanyahu? And certainly the Negev. And pre-67 Israel, they have sovereignty there since 1948. And Netanyahu is offering to give parts of the Negev under the Trump plan, parts of the Negev, parts of pre-67 Israel, would be handed over to a so-called Palestinian state. So sovereignty does not guarantee anything, anything. The only thing that is worthwhile is putting facts, solid facts on the ground, which means a lot of Jews moving into those areas. That is what Israel should be doing, moving Jews into those areas as quickly as possible. And that Netanyahu has, in that area, he's been the worst prime minister in Israel's history. When it comes to Jewish settlements, he's the worst prime minister in Israel's history. We have never had a prime minister who has been so hostile to Jewish building in Judea and Samaria as Netanyahu. He has frozen all Jewish building, even in Jerusalem he's frozen Jewish building. We never had this even under left-wing prime ministers. He is bar none when it comes to the critical issue of building Jewish settlements and building Jewish communities and putting Jews in these critical areas. He is the worst prime minister in Israel's history when it comes to that issue. The worst. And you know, he said, we haven't given up on sovereignty and we haven't given up. Trump said that's not true. It's permanently off the table. You agreed to permanently take it off the table, and so did the Arab leaders and UAE and all the other Arab leaders that were involved in the negotiations. They all said, what's he talking about? He agreed to permanently take it off, but he lies to the Israeli people, and all the other people involved have contradicted him. And you know, I mean, he's so obviously lying again. All he does is lie. All Netanyahu does is lie. This is a guy who 2 weeks before every election, and this he's done this in like four elections in a row, 2 weeks before the election, a week before the election, he announces he's building thousands of new housing units in Judea and Samaria in order to buttress our Jewish presence in the liberated areas of Judea and Samaria in order to keep this land Jewish. Thousands of new housing units he approves. And 1 week and 1 week after the election, he cancels everything and says, no, we're going back to the building freeze. And the Jews fall for this over and over and over again. This is worse than America. In America, we had George Bush Sr. who said, read my lips, no new taxes, and then raise taxes. But this is a guy, but he was defeated. George Bush was defeated in the next election after that. 1992, he was defeated. And in no small part because he broke his promise. Netanyahu breaks all of his promises to the Jews over and over again, makes a million promises over and over again, never keeps his word to the Jews, only keeps his word to our enemies. And the Jews of Israel keep re-electing him. They never learn. They never learn. And you know, it was announced that Iran now has 10 times as much uranium, which is an essential thing, essential ingredient in the building of nuclear bombs. They now have 10 times as much as under the agreement that they signed, that they're supposed to be able to have. 10 times as much. And they keep adding to their uranium stockpiles and adding and adding and adding. They're so obviously moving toward trying to build a nuclear bomb. And Netanyahu, who has the ability to destroy militarily all of their nuclear program before it's too late, he's never going to do it. He's such a wimp. He's such a coward. He's such a fraud. He will never do it. And Trump will never do it. Trump won't do it either. Listen, before the election, Trump made it clear he wasn't going to do it. He was the only one of all the candidates who was saying he was not going to do it. Whereas Ted Cruz would have done it. Ted Cruz would have taken out Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. What a safer, better world this would have been if that had happened. And it would have taken the United States Air Force one day to destroy all of Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. So that's where we stand. And I'm concerned that in 2 months from now, we're going to see Joe Biden and Kamala Harris elected, God forbid. And I'm very concerned that means that we go back to the Obama-Iran agreement where Iran will be able to build the nuclear bombs even faster and even more effectively. And this is where we are. This is where we're stuck because you don't have people of principle in this generation. Everybody is unprincipled. Everybody cuts corners and compromises. You got to compromise, compromise. Nobody is principled and really stands for the truth. Well, we have to change that, because the day will come when Jews will be principled again and will stand for the truth, when the Jews will be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and nation of priests. That will happen. When we return to the land of Israel, it's going to be only evil. Everybody will be evil, the whole generations of evil. This is what the prophet said. And this is what Chazal, our great rabbinic scholars and sages, told us. So everything's playing out the way as expected. But eventually that's going to change. Something's going to happen that will wake the Jews up. Something's going to happen that will bring the Jews to their senses and turn the situation around. And then we won't have a Netanyahu as prime minister. We'll have a real Jewish leader in charge of Israel. JTF is doing the best we can to bring that about. This week we started a 7th Hebrew video that we're advertising. We were advertising 6 Hebrew videos. Now we're advertising 7. We did a 7th. We just did a new video on the Israel-United Arab Emirates disastrous agreement. We just did a video on that we're advertising. And so we're reaching tens of thousands of Jews every month, and hundreds of thousands of Jews every year with our message. I hope and pray that it makes a difference. At least someone is telling the truth. How much good it does that they see one of our videos, which is a minute or a minute and a half only before, that they see one of our videos for a minute or minute and a half advert, and they get to see it. How much good does it do? How much of an impression does it make on them? I don't know. I hope somewhere in their mind they'll remember it, and it'll click all of a sudden when the opportunity comes to finally change things in the future, because that future day will come for the Jewish people and for the world. But until then, we've got to pave the way. We've got to tell the truth. We've got to do everything we can to try to make this a better world, to try to turn things around as best we can under the circumstances. That's what JTF is doing, and if you agree that that's important, and if you agree that that's essential, then you're in the right place. Because if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world, and we can change history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.